This week on Lunchbox Envy, quite literally the first thing on the menu for everyone.
Dolphins make it as thick as toothpaste.
And kangaroos can produce full fat and skin varieties simultaneously.
It's milking time. Hello and welcome to Lunchbox Envy. My name is Rosie and I'm here with QI elf Manu. Hi Manu.
Hello Rosie. We're also here with my fellow elf Jack.
Ciao Manu.
Ciao.
So milk, one of the most basic foodstuffs in the world. Every mammal produces it, and in fact some non-mammals. Most commonly we drink the milk of cows, 85% of the milk we drink worldwide. Sheep, 1.4%, buffalo, 11%, and goats, 2%.
I found out that we've been drinking milk as a species before we could digest it as adults.
Right.
I just love the tenacity of that. Like thinking something is tasty, probably getting quite sick, like going back to it.
Yeah. Like me and tequila. Yeah.
I really love the word milk, by the way.
It is a good word.
Do you know where it comes from?
No, tell us.
It comes from the Germanic root melg.
Oh, that's not as sexy.
It means to rub. Which is quite sexy.
Oh,
there's a roller coaster.
Just describing the action of milking, you would meld a cow.
Stop doing that with your hands.
Do it with both hands. It's a big cow.
So in the 19th century, they had a great slang term for milk.
Oh, yeah?
Cow juice.
That does what it says on it.
That's pretty accurate. That's literally what it is, isn't it?
Question, is milk a food or a drink?
Wow, that's a good question. I think science has come up with a definition of liquids, and that is that they fill the container you leave them in. And certainly milk ticks that box.
It does.
But then cow's milk's actually 12% solid, so it's less liquid than cucumbers, tomatoes, or lettuce.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For milk, I did look it up. It is a food that you drink.
According to who?
According to scientists, because...
Big milk.
Big milk says, no, it's actually really cool. It is one of the only complete foods. So if you think about the fact that this is all baby mammals consume, because it contains all of the protein, fats, carbs, vitamins, minerals you need to survive. So it is like the ultimate food.
Wow.
So shall we dive into our first lunchbox?
Let's do it.
Alrighty, I'm going to take it away today with mine. I really struggled with narrowing down the dishes of milk. And I was just like, there's too much. There's too much in the milk canon to bring in.
Milk canon, that's a great
So then I was like, what was my favorite way to consume milk growing up? And it was with Cocoa Puffs. So,
oh,
is that what you
babe.
Oh.
So here we go.
Oh, the sound is amazing.
Okay, so... I won't talk with my mouth full, but I'll talk with my mouth full a little bit. So when I was trying to do some research for this, I was just like, there's just so much to talk about. And what I actually don't really know is what is the process of bringing cow's milk from the dairy to the bottle. So I'm going to walk you through how milk is made. How does it get from cow to glass? Let's take cow's milk as our main example because it's the most common one. So obviously cow's milk starts in the boobs, in the teats, the udders. It's then sucked out of the teats using vacuum cups. Within 48 hours, the milk is taken to be pasteurized and homogenized.
Pasteurization is when you heat it to kill bacteria, right?
Exactly. Heated to 72 degrees for no less than 15 seconds.
Very specific, yeah.
And that's what kills a lot of the microbes. Then it goes through a process called homogenization.
For consistent
product. When it's in its raw state like that, it's very like gloopy, thick. It varies wildly depending on the time of year, depending on the season, depending on the cows themselves, depending on their environment. And it's put under pressure through very fine nozzles, which evenly disperse the fat globules, which stops the cream from separating and rising to the top.
Uh-huh.
Because we as a consumer don't like that. We want our milk to be nice and thin.
It looks weird, yeah.
Yeah, and looks weird and it smells weird. Of course, there are some people who just want lower fat milk, right?
Skimmed brigade.
So in order to produce milks that contain different levels of fat content, the milk is put through a process called centrifugal separation.
Ooh, spinning it around really, really fast.
Exactly. Spinning it around to varying degrees.
I guess because the densities are different between fat and water. That's how spinning
exactly,
it
exactly, yeah. It's like making a dressing, but in reverse. Not really.
Then it is finally bottled and sent to the supermarkets.
God, there's a lot more process than I thought.
Yeah, yeah.
I read a pint of UK supermarket milk could contain milk from 1,000 cows.
Oh my God.
And that's part of the homogenization, I imagine, mixing it all up so that it's all a consistent product.
It feels like a quote from like the 300. I have drunk the milk of 1,000 cows.
I'm going to do that, like just down a pint of milk in the middle of the supermarket.
So I guess my question from that is like, if all milk is pasteurized, what's the difference between pasteurized and UHT, which is ultra heat treated? Because surely they've all been ultra heat treated.
No, but I know the difference. Ultra heat, the clue is in the ultra.
It's really hot.
Well, it's not necessarily more hot, just like kept for a longer time, which denatures some of the proteins as well, which is why it tastes weird.
I found out that UHT milk, unopened, can last for up to 9 months.
Oh my God.
That's quite
a
long time.
Yeah, it's really
I'm going to put some in my bunker for my nuclear war prep.
I don't want to know.
Interestingly, as I said earlier, like milk production is really like inconsistent. And there actually is a lot of research to suggest there are ways to increase milk production from cows.
Oh, yeah.
Like naming a cow increases the milk yield by 500 pints a year.
Whoa. Oh my God.
Which is 3.5%.
Does it depend on the name? Because I think if you gave them like a really derogatory name, like if you called them Susan, they'd be like, oh my God.
Hey, that's my mum's name.
I know, but it's just a bit lame, right?
What?
I think if you called him...
I think you call it Jack. So very sad.
Well, we've got to try it.
Some cows apparently can produce more milk when listening to music, particularly classical music.
I was going
to
say, again, does it depend on the music?
Yeah. And then apparently goats produce more milk if they're listening to Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas Is You.
What all year round? That's a torture.
But then, yeah, that's it. It's a torture, right? Yeah. Like after two or
three
listens,
take my milk. I don't want to listen to them. This is horrible trash anymore. There are clearly some external conditions that help with the process of milk making. And I suspect part of it might be to do with stress levels, which is probably why they like classical. I suspect metal might have reduced milk production.
Yeah, well, really, really, really wild jazz.
Yeah.
Has anyone here milked a cow?
Oh, that's a good question. I have not.
No, yeah, I've not.
It's on my bucket list.
Is it really? How far up is it?
Quite far, I think.
Have I misunderstood? Is it a bucket list or just things to do with a bucket? On a related note, London milkmaids used to shout, "Me oh!" in the streets, which was short of a milk below.
So disturbing about
me-o.
That.
Me oh!
It was like, it's like, a donkey, but not.
Yeah. I mean, we have no record of what tone they were shouting. But
so I'm also reading the same note. Doesn't that say meow? Like
yeah, but
cat?
That doesn't make sense. It's short for milk below, not milk below.
I don't know. I'm thinking about cats and milk. So I read there are dairy farms that have trained cows to use automatic milking machines.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's super cool. So they'll go in themselves. Whenever they fancy, but the machine remembers which cows have come in when. So if they come back too quickly, it'll be like,
you've had enough.
Do we need more? No, it's really
Let
cool.
Let Daisy have a go.
Oh my God.
Yeah, that is really clever.
Mm-hmm.
They're basically like voluntarily milking themselves.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, have you ever driven past a field of dairy cows?
Mm.
Their boobs get so big.
Yeah.
Milking must feel quite nice.
Yeah, a bit of relief. Yeah, I remember being in the car with my mum in Somerset. We lived very close to the dairy farm and we'd often get stuck behind the cows crossing in back to get milked over the road. And me and my mum would do that classic female thing of being like, oh, poor girl, she looks sore today, doesn't she? Get her in there. Get her in there for a milking. She needs it. Look at those girls. Honestly, and like, you know.
And all the men in the car go, whoa, look at the size of them.
It's time to go on to the second lunchbox. Jack, it's your turn to wow us with some milky facts.
I've brought you all from the UAE 2 cans of camel milk. I'm going to try them now.
No, you actually haven't. Oh, no.
Why?
One each.
Thank you.
Are they cold? Oh, thank God they're cold.
Yeah, pretty cold.
If I'm lactose intolerant, do I have to drink?
You know, lactose-free milk actually has lactose in.
What?
Yeah, it's only lactose-free because they add an enzyme that helps you digest it.
Mm, that feels like false advertising to me. Maybe they're trying to say when it's lacto-free, it's that you're free from the burden of lactose allergy.
Yeah, maybe that's it. That's it. That's what it's shorthand for, isn't it?
Okay.
There's something in flatulence, isn't there?
I'm definitely going to try it.
I'll just describe to the listeners what we have here. It's a cardboard, a UHT-esque sort of can.
It is long life.
Of Camelicious Long Life Camel Milk.
Where did you get this?
Oh, I have my sources.
I've opened it and it is creamy and white. If you had put it in a glass, I wouldn't have known it wasn't cow's milk.
I've never smelt a camel, so I have nothing to compare this.
My general feeling around food is that if you smell it before you eat it or drink it, that's usually a bad omen.
Oh, really?
What?
I can't smell it, just to be clear. But like when I do a shot of tequila, if I smell it, that's a game over.
Oh,
so I'm not going to smell it. I'm just going to drink it. Okay.
The listeners, she's grimacing.
It's not my favorite. It's kind of tastes like old chocolate. Like, you know, that taste of like slightly dusty dairy. It's quite creamy on the tongue. It's certainly thicker than cow's milk. A little salty as well.
It's a bit salty.
Yeah.
I know what you mean about the, I've had family bring chocolate from really far away. It is that dusty kind of like...
But it could be that it's UHT that's giving that. Maybe you just need to go back to the UAE and get some fresh stuff, for God's sake. It does look really fatty.
The hump, which famously doesn't store water, stores fat. Mm. Probably adds to the flavour profile. So any mammal can make milk, like I said, and the monotremes, which is a small group of mammals that mostly live in Australia and include, famously, the duck-billed platypus.
Yes.
And various species of echidna. They can lay eggs as well, so they can make their own custard. Whale milk is also the consistency of toothpaste, like we said in the intro, whale and dolphin.
Yeah, seal milk as well. It's like the fattiest, creamiest.
Really?
Yeah, it's mad.
I didn't know, but pigs can make milk, and apparently it tastes just like cow milk. But the reason it's not commercially viable is that pigs don't have udders, so you can't store it. So they produce small quantities as and when it's needed, i.e. when they're weaning piglets. And so, yeah, someone's done it. They've made pig cheese, but it was so costly. It's very expensive because it's so labor intensive. So you have to go and sort of suckle at the pig teat every day for a month or something and get like a milliliter at a time. So buffalo milk makes up 11% of all the milk drunk worldwide. And I think most of that is in India because they're the biggest producers. Have you ever had it? I know it's been used for make mozzarella in Italy for ages.
There's a buffalo farm near my parents' place in Somerset.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, I know the one. What's it bloody called? I'm from Somerset.
I can't remember what it's called. Have you tried their ice cream?
No, I haven't tried their ice cream. I've tried their mozzarella.
It is my favourite ice cream to date. It's so smooth.
Really?
It's mad. The texture is insane. So yeah, would big up buffalo milk.
Moose milk, commercially available in Russia, Sweden and Canada.
Mm.
There's a farm in Sweden called the Elk House, which produces cheese from 3 moose cows. But apparently they'll stop producing milk if they're disturbed. So they have to be milked in silence, which I really love. It's the idea of like, everyone like, shh.
Oh, Jack.
But apparently it takes 2 hours to collect a full yield of 2 litres. Maybe because they keep sneezing or cars keep going past, I don't know.
Oh. Yeah, that is quite a long... That's labour-intensive as well.
Labour-intensive, yeah. Spider's milk.
Oh, yeah.
Spider's milk contains 4 times as much protein as cow's milk.
Just to ask, though, how does one go about milking a spider?
That's a good question. I think, like the cockroach, it's secreted from a gland, so you'd have to squeeze it.
No.
Squeeze the right bit, otherwise you just get string.
Hideous.
Silly string. I think flamingo crop milk is...
It's pink.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're only pink because of the crustaceans that they eat.
Oh, so see, that would see that grosses me out because now I'm just thinking fishy milk.
Really?
Just something else that came up in my research. The first cow to fly in an aeroplane, which I was surprised to find that any cows have flown in an aeroplane, actually, but it makes sense when you think about it. Was Elm Farm Ollie in 1930. Her handler milked her and parachuted cartons of milk down to spectators waiting below.
Wow. Yeah. Milk can live in midair.
Yeah. So not only did she just have a nice trip on the plane, but she was milked while she was up there.
I hope the pilot leant out and said, be like milk below.
Can I just mention really quickly how mammals make milk?
Yeah.
Because I had no idea. No, and I didn't. Disgusting.
Oh, God.
Milk is filtered blood, which makes so much sense. But it's still freaky deaky. Basically, there's too much iron in blood for an infant to drink blood directly to get all of the nutrients it needs. So it takes, in a cow, about 500 litres of blood to make 1 litre of milk. A cow will produce about 60 litres of milk a day. So that's 30,000 litres of blood circulating through her boobs.
That's crazy. A cow contains 30,000 liters of blood.
No. It's like 300 liters going around 1,000 times.
Oh, God, that makes my brain hurt.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, filtered blood.
That is also a sensational fact that has made me feel quite strange about drinking milk. Mm-hmm. But also reinforces the fact that plant milk ain't milk because they don't have blood.
We can't call plant milk milk.
Mm. So I was looking into a little bit about which milk is the most ethical.
Oh, yeah.
If you don't want to drink mammal milk, and there is something wrong with literally every single one of these milks. So say coconut milk is grown really far away in tropical climates, has a terrible carbon footprint getting to us, lots of deforestation and monocultures. Almond milk takes loads and loads
super
of...
thirsty.
Yeah, super thirsty. Again, takes a lot of travel to get here. Not great air miles. Rice produces loads and takes loads of water. So that might be the worst alternative.
Because of the methane coming out of the rice paddies, yeah.
Soy is also a monoculture, grows in hot climates. So apparently the best one is oat or hazelnut, which is, I think they're both wind pollinated, or at least oats are, and grow in cold climates and don't have to be shipped as far.
But the thing to remember with CO2 emissions is that all plant milk is better than cow milk.
Yeah.
But as with everything, like everything you consume has a cost.
On to our final lunchbox, and it's the lovely Manu.
In my lunchbox, I have something called Midtown Smoke.
Oh.
Which is a ricotta-style cheese made from human breast milk.
Oh,
my God. Why have they chosen such a disgusting name?
Oh, it's
Midtown Smoke. Okay, so wait, can I guess? Is it from New York?
Actually, it was exhibited in New York, so
but
kind of.
But it's not from, okay.
But why smoke? Well, it makes me think of what, she's smoking?
Potentially.
The Marlboro Lights, yeah.
Oh, okay. So I don't have the ricotta in front of me because this was part of an art installation in 2011 by a woman called Miriam Simon, who set up a lady cheese shop where you could go and taste three different cheeses made by different human mothers.
Oh.
So the other two were called West Side Funk and Wisconsin Chew.
What? They get worse. Yes. Appealing,
apparently, Midtown Smoke was not smoky. It was creamy and mild. This was Miriam's favorite.
Okay.
Then Wisconsin Chew was quite bland. apparently, because the mother that made it was a vegetarian.
Oh my God.
Yeah, she doesn't write about what the third cheese, West Side Funk, tasted like, but I'm assuming maybe a
sounds
bit
like
blue.
Yeah. Blue cheese, yeah.
It does. Mm-hmm. But yeah, her whole exhibition was supposed to get people talking about the commodification of human breast milk. So like the breast milk market and the trade, breast milk donation, because it's not just baby humans that drink breast milk. I don't know if you guys know about this, but there's quite a few different kinds of people that want to buy breast milk and consume it themselves.
Oh, is this the bodybuilder thing?
Mm. Bodybuilders drink it because they think it's going to help them bulk.
Oh, wow.
There are people who are sick, so some cancer patients want to buy it to try and heal themselves. And whoa, there are quite a few people who are into it, like, in a sexy way.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's another group of consumers.
OnlyFans breast milk section.
Oh,
getting a lot of love.
Was that part of your research?
It wasn't actually. Okay. Was it yours?
No, I didn't know it existed.
There's actually a really, really good Channel 4 documentary called I Sell My Breast Milk Online, with a mother there who's selling to all different sorts of people. And it's a massive market. It is supposed to be regulated under the Human Tissues Act, an act that kind of like protects different body parts. So say...
Stops me selling my kidney, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
okay. It's interesting you raise consent. Do you think breast milk is vegan?
Interesting. Well, it's an animal product, so no, right?
Under the classical definition. But on the other hand, you're not exploiting an animal because you've asked for it and they said yes.
Did you guys ever... Do you have any younger siblings, firstly?
I do.
Did you try your mum's breast milk when your sibling was born? No, I definitely
did. Did you? But what's the age gap?
Yeah, so Billy, my youngest brother, was born when I was 6. So
okay, yeah.
I think we were quite curious, me and my middle brother. It wasn't like an alien thing. Obviously, we were very aware of breastfeeding. And like, I was just like, oh, is that going to be nice?
Yeah.
And then I think we did get given a little, like, you know, morsel of
a teaspoon.
Morsel's the wrong word. Like, we got given a teaspoon of it to try, yeah. And I just remember it being kind of thick and sweet.
Ooh.
But not really anything else to it. Like, I didn't want to drink it after that. I wasn't like, that's it, back to the boob. Like...
There's another really important group of people I haven't spoken about in this whole kind of breast milk trade issue is mothers that can't produce their own breast milk. So these are another group of people who are buying breast milk off other mothers. But because it's not regulated, apparently the best way to do it is to donate breast milk to a breast milk bank. So there's one in the UK called the Human Milk Foundation, and they'll make sure everything is safe and then they'll redistribute it to other mothers that want to give their kids breast milk, or premature babies in hospitals, they get milk bank donation milk as well, which is really cool.
Obviously, breastfeeding is quite a sensitive subject. And I think most importantly, if your baby is fed, whether it's from breast milk or whether it's from artificial milk, as long as it's fed and loved, that's the most important thing.
One fun thing about the whole drinking milk for calcium consumption.
Oh, yeah.
You don't need it from dairy. Because apparently your bone health has more to do with the amount you move and all of the other things in your diet and not how much calcium you're consuming. Ah. So if you think about bone health in countries with like high lactose intolerance, like India and China, they're fine.
Mm. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. That's
people...
a classic big milk, you know, propaganda.
Conspiracy.
I have cousins whose mum was American and she would make her kids drink milk at every meal because she believed that it was really important for them to drink it, and they loved it and it was great. But that was because in America they'd been fed this like long standing argument that milk was full of calcium and your kids had to drink it.
But it is full of calcium. We should
yeah,
well, yes, it is
really.
It is full of
but
calcium.
You don't need it. You don't need to
consume
calcium. And the Milk Marketing Board was a thing in this country in the 70s. It used to sponsor the League Cup. It was called the Milk Cup. And it wasn't a brand of like, you know, chocolate bar called milk. It was actually just milk, British milk. Have any of you tried to buy milk in Canada?
No, I've never been to Canada.
Okay. They serve their milk in a bag. This is because they went from gallons to metric in the 1970s, but they couldn't be bothered to change all the packaging overnight. So it's sold in a plastic bag, which is cheaper and easier to make different sizes. So you buy your milk in the supermarket in a big sort of sealed but plastic bag, a bit like those air pockets you get in, you know, you like to pop them when you get a fragile delivery.
I'm thinking about like a Capri Sun.
Yeah, like a big Capri Sun, and you wouldn't buy them in such small packets. But then they don't have a straw hole, so you just have to snip the top off the corner, and then you put it in a jug. So you get milk in a bag in a jug.
Nice. Milk in a bag in a jug. Well, that is it for this week's edition of Lunchbox Envy. If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can find us on Instagram at lunchboxenvypod.
Or if you want to get in contact with us, you can email lunchbox@qi.com.
Rosie, any milky recipe recommendations from your new cookbook?
This is going to be a bit of a wild one, but I love a fish pie. Oh. Fish pie, I poach the fish in milk and then use that milk to make the sauce to go in the pie, which is a very common way of doing it. And that's the first recipe that came to my head.
And you said milk, did you not milt?
Yes, milt. is not in the recipe.
That would make a brilliant fish pie, though.
And my book is called Good Time Cooking, and it's out now. We'll end with this. In American Sign Language, the sign for milk is pretending to squeeze an udder, which Jack has done literally the entire episode. The slang for pasteurized milk is to pretend to squeeze an udder while moving your hand in front of your face, or past your eyes.
Not very good.
We will see you next week. Goodbye.
Bye. Bye.
Lunchbox Envy was hosted by Manu Henriot, Jack Chambers, and me, Rosie McKean. The producer was Alex Bell. This has been a quite interesting podcast.